Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC. Coming up on tomorrow's program, it's a special edition of The Brian Lehrer Show. What happens after a revolution? Advice for Egypt. And with the news that's breaking this morning, this may be particularly well-timed, but we will have guests who have lived through revolutions from all over the world, from Cuba and Iran to South Africa and Eastern Europe, to compare notes on how some revolutions turn out well and some not so well after the dictators are gone. Also in the special, historian Simon Shama, democracy expert Benjamin Barber, Foreign Affairs magazine editor Gideon Rose, Egyptian blogger Mona Eltahawy, and others. It should be an amazing event, and it's all live tomorrow here on The Brian Lehrer Show. Meanwhile, what is a journalist? Do you know one when you see one? Or is there something more accredited and official about the position? It's a question that the internet has turned on its head for years now, giving everyone access to many of the tools of journalism, including the ability to easily publish. So now the same debate has moved to the courts, specifically in this case, the New Jersey State Supreme Court, which is considering an appeal in a very interesting shield law, the rules that allow journalists to shield their sources' identity, a case that could have far-reaching consequences for online media outside of New Jersey as well. Here's the story. Shelley Hale, a blogger and private investigator from Washington State, was investigating the New Jersey-based Too Much Media, Inc. as part of an ongoing story she was writing about corruption in the pornography industry. We want a clean pornography industry, don't we? Too Much Media sued her for defamation in 2008, and as part of her defense, Hale was asked to reveal a confidential source from her stories. Now, there is no national law protecting journalists, but most states have some statute on the books protecting confidentiality for reporters. Hale believes she should be protected by those laws as a journalist. Marianne Spoto, a State House reporter for the Star-Ledger, who covers the courts and has been tracking this case since it started, and Kevin Smith, the ethics chair and former president of the Society to Protect Journalists, both join us now to discuss the curious story of Hale v. Too Much Media and what it might mean for the profession of journalism and the people. Welcome to WNYC. Hi.
Hi.
Good morning.
Thanks very much.
Marianne, did I get the case details right?
Yes, you did.
So it's not really about defamation at this point. It's about the shield laws. It's about how much a blogger who's not working at that moment for an accredited news organization can protect their sources.
Correct. It had started out as defamation, but that had been separated out of the case earlier on when it got down to the issue of whether she was a journalist and could be sued for defamation to begin with.
Kevin, how does your group, it's a professional organization, the Society to Protect Journalists, journalists are members, how does the SPJ define a journalist?
Well, that's a really good question. And our stance has been one to prevent the definition of a journalist, because we believe that defining a journalist goes against our First Amendment rights in a democracy, and that our stance has always been that, not to try to label journalists, not to favor licensure or certification. So we've always accepted the broadest base definition, which, as we have seen, is now starting to rear its head and cause some problems.
Does that mean you support Shelley Hale in this case?
You know, that's a really good question. I think that the Society of Professional Journalists would probably, if we were to take a vote among our members, would probably say that she has some sense of protection. But I think that you have to scratch below the surface for what kind of work is being done. I like to think that and this is maybe just a simple arbitrary decision, but I think that you have to look at the body of the work that an individual produces before you can start labeling them.
And Marianne, from the Star-Ledger, you cite Ronald Chen, who used to be the New Jersey public advocate, now vice dean of the Rutgers Law School, arguing on behalf of the American Civil Liberties Union, representing Ms. Hale, saying that the news gathering and dissemination process defines whether a person is a journalist. In other words, it's not who they work for, it's what they do. Are they doing something that a journalist does? How big a protective tent is the defense here trying to pitch?
Ronald Chen was making a broad tent with that. Justice Barry Albin had put a question to most of the attorneys in the case asking if someone posting on a Facebook page announcing that he or she was doing an investigation, would that person be protected from revealing their sources, even if you don't know whether they had sources or not on this and were just being reckless? And Ronald Chen took the position that, yes, they would be protected, which then provoked the question, well, there are 8 million people in New Jersey. Does that mean there would be 8 million people protected by the Shield Law? And that's one of the questions that they're dealing with.
So should we go down a pecking order here, Kevin? I mean, you know, to me, and obviously I work as a professional journalist and have for a long time, not just as a host, but I've been a street reporter, et cetera, et cetera. And I say protect them all. Anybody who interviews anybody who publishes 5 lines on a website, on their own Facebook page or whatever, should have the right to protect that source, in my opinion, if they're putting it out in the spirit of being a journalist. Is there an argument on the other side? What would some of your members at SPJ say?
Well, I don't think you're going to get too many arguments from within SPJ. I think where you're going to run into loggerheads is with lawmakers, and we've already seen that. You know, I've been actively involved in trying to get a federal Shield Law passed for the last 4 years, and the last thing that we ran into at the federal level were senators who were creating definitions of a journalist, and what their proposal was a two-tier approach, that if you worked for the Star-Ledger or you worked for the Los Angeles Times or you worked for what they would consider a traditional media outlet, you assumed direct coverage. But if you did not, if you were a blogger, then you had to jump through more specific hoops. You had to show that you had written a number of pieces over a period of time. There was some discussion about livelihood and income generated as a form of defining a journalist. So I don't think that you're going to run into a lot of opposition in the journalism community, but where you're going to find the problems, and you continue to find the problems, are with the lawmakers who are going to put these, whether at the state level or at the federal level, who are just concerned and want to, want to narrow the definition to something that's manageable.
So, Marianne, what's the argument in this case on the other side?
Well, Brian, first, following up on that, the appellate division, when it issued its ruling last year, enumerated a number of criteria that would fit journalists, and that stuck in the craw of the New Jersey Press Association, whose attorney also argued to the Supreme Court on Tuesday, because of just what we were saying, that narrowly defining a journalist and saying what they had to do, what criteria they had to meet. And that's what they're concerned about. It might come out of this Supreme Court case.
Listeners, we've put a poll question on our politics website. It's a free country. org. I know we have a lot of journalists and unfortunately a lot of unemployed journalists who listen to this show at this time, but journalist or non-journalist, you may weigh in. Should anyone who blogs be given the same legal right to protect the identity of their sources as journalists from credentialed news organizations? A New Jersey court is deciding which way should it rule, either treat all bloggers as journalists under the law or only protect those working for some kind of accredited news organization. Post your response at itsafreecountry.org and join the discussion there as well if you want on this topic as we talk about it for just a couple more minutes with Marianne Spoto, State House reporter for the Star-Ledger, and Kevin Smith, the ethics chair and former president of the Society to Protect Journalists, a journalist professional organization. And Kevin, before you go, your organization has a specific code of ethics for journalists. You're the ethics chair at SBJ. Is there an ethical component to how you define a journalist? And that can that ethical component be codified into law?
Well, there's been attempts by that. A couple of years ago, Senator Cornyn from Texas sat in the same room with me and wanted to use our code of ethics as a sort of a benchmark for defining a journalist, and I would completely resist any attempts to do that. I think that you know, the answer to your question, I guess if you, I look at it as you know, defining a journalist. You have a, you know, you may have a dictionary definition. And those of us who are professional journalists and have been professional journalists know, you know, if you're going to define it by strict dictionary definition, someone who gathers information, disseminates it, then I think that you can argue that a number of people can be included. But I think those of us who have been in the profession, from an ethical standpoint, understand that there's a lot more that goes into being a professional journalist than just simply gathering information and disseminating it. There's perspective, there's ethical conduct that's involved. So from an ethical standpoint, yes, I think that the definition becomes a little more refined when you apply codes of ethics.
Now, I want to jump in for a minute with the latest from Egypt. NBC News is reporting that Omar Suleiman, the vice president, will take over as president. If you're just joining us, the Associated Press has been reporting that military and ruling party officials say President Hosni Mubarak will meet protesters' demands, and they don't say what exactly that means, but we know what the protesters are demanding, and that is the resignation of Mubarak. He has spoken previously during this crisis and said he would meet people's demands and has stopped short of resigning, so we don't really know what this is going to be. But we are told that President Mubarak will address the nation probably shortly. And now NBC News is reporting that Mubarak will step down tonight. It's tonight already in Egypt, so this could happen any time. And that the vice president, Suleiman, will take over. There is a question as to whether even that will meet people's demands. Protesters have been outraged that the United States has endorsed the transition to be led by Suleiman, who is, of course, a Mubarak insider. So a lot developing from Egypt. As soon as there is reason to go live there, we will, and interrupt anything else that we're doing. So stay with us for that. Last question for Marianne Spoto from the Star Ledger. What's at stake in this case? Whether the blogger gets declared a journalist who can protect your sources or not?
Obviously, it will be a lawsuit against her if this is allowed to go forward. But it's also the broader issue of what people do on the Internet and what they can say on the Internet. In this case, the Supreme Court seemed to be focusing on where she posted her comments, not her credentials necessarily. Mm-hmm. She had posted her comments on a message board that was not her own website. So the Supreme Court is going into the details of where she was, and I believe that will lead other courts to just decide these on a case-by-case basis. Uh-huh. This case may not be give a final definition for journalists.
So there's a further rung down the pecking order, right? Down the ladder of hierarchy of definitions of journalists. If you don't even put it on your website, and we see what a Facebook post can do, just a simple Facebook post by Wael Ghanim, the Google executive, helped spark the protest movement in Egypt. He didn't even identify himself in the process, but it was his Facebook page, or it was a Facebook page dedicated to these things. Posting a message on some other Facebook page, well, is that enough to make you a journalist and protect your sources? All right, that's what the court is grappling with, the New Jersey State Supreme Court. So we thank Marianne and Kevin from the Star Ledger and the Society to Protect Journalists, Society of Professional Journalists, respectively. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Again, the headline from Egypt, military and ruling party officials say President Hosni Mubarak will meet protesters' demands. They say that Hosni Mubarak will address the nation tonight. It is already tonight in Egypt. This could happen any time. We will interrupt anything else we have scheduled on this show and bring you live coverage as soon as events warrant. So stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.